This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A man some call the Steve Jobs of investing tells us how he's thinking about the future of the U.S. economy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The guardians of interest rates at the Federal Reserve are signaling a reluctance to raise interest rates again this month. The minutes of the Fed's last meeting, made public yesterday, suggest raising rates too soon would make it seem like inflation is more urgent a problem than it is right now. If you want to know where the economy is going, who would you want to sit next to on a plane? Fed Chair Janet Yellen's a good answer. So is Ray Dalio, a legendarily successful investor. Dalio is founder and CEO of Bridgewater Associates, the largest set of hedge funds in the world. Dalio bases his investment decisions less on abstract financial data and more on his reading of the macroeconomy. He's very focused on central bank interest rates running so close to zero these days. When rates are already zero, it's tough to lower them further in an emergency. We asked Ray Dalio to come by Marketplace's New York Bureau to talk about the future of the economy when central banks run out of firepower.
Europe is there. In Japan, it's there. And the U.S. is very close.
But maybe we in the U.S. don't need it anymore. Maybe the vitality of the economy will drive us forward, and we don't need the help from those folks in Washington at the central bank.
Well, we hope we don't. But we live in this world that we're affected by. And then also, we're pretty sure that one day we're going to need it. There's always downturns. There's upturns and there's downturns. That's the business cycle, the short-term debt cycle. We see that all the time.
But you also see superimposed over the shorter-term gyrations, these cycles, a big set of long ones.
Yeah, people don't know much about the long-term debt cycle because they only come along once in one's lifetime. But they've existed throughout history. You can go back to the Old Testament and they talk about the year of Jubilee, the relief of that debt. The short-term debt cycles add up to a long-term debt cycle because we prefer stimulation over restraint. And so debts rise relative to incomes for a long time. And because we want to perpetuate that, central banks do, they lower interest rates until they hit zero. And when they hit zero and there's high debt relative to GDP, they're in a bind. And that last time that happened was 1930. In other words, we had the stock market crash. Then they lowered interest rates and so on.
And what happened in 2007, 2008 wasn't the resolution of a long-term debt cycle? You're saying that we're still working on the current one.
Just like what happened in 1930 to 32 was not the resolution of the long-term debt cycle. It continued on because still the debts are high in relation to the income, but and still you're close to a zero interest rate. So what the Federal Reserve is doing by putting more money into the economy is it's having that money allow more spending without raising debt. So that's been a good thing. But when we start to imagine the next downturn, which I don't think it's going to happen this year or next year, you know, I'm not sure when it's going to happen.
Which is fabulous news on its own that a recession is not around the corner, according to Ray Dalio. But at some point,
it will come. And it won't be easily dealt with. In the meantime, because we don't know exactly when it's going to come, there's an asymmetric risk for the Federal Reserve because the downside is more difficult to deal with than the upside. We know that they can tighten monetary policy, slow the economy, and reduce inflation. We know they have the power.
But what are they going to do if it goes down, especially if the quantitative easing strategy is getting long in the tooth and is less effective?
If they raise interest rates too quickly, you will see that affected in stock and bond prices. Then that not only affects psychology, it affects wealth and it adversely affects spending. And so it's a delicate thing there. So they will have to tread lightly.
Tread lightly. So if there's a closed circuit message from your microphone to the ear of Janet Yellen at this moment, what's the practical takeaway right now?
First, Go study the long-term debt cycle. Make sure you understand the economics of that. And then realize that the risks are more on the downside than the upside. So it pays to see the whites of the eyes of inflation before you shoot at it.
Mr. Dalio has an animated film online that makes the case that predicting the arcs of the economy ain't complicated. If you miss our discussion on the air of that, plus the challenges of income inequality, give a listen to the director's cut of our conversation at marketplace.org. There's also a link to the film, which teachers may be a useful teaching tool. The task force put together to keep Philadelphia from going bankrupt is pushing the mayor there to find a way to deal with a $6 billion shortfall in city pension money. Marketplace's Andy Euler says it's not just Philly in this tight spot.
The issue is that cities and states established generous pension packages, and now they can't afford to keep the promise. Leora Friedberg teaches economics at the University of Virginia. She says the pensions that run out of money are a particular sort.
The pensions that run into problems are the defined benefit pensions, where it's entirely up to the employer, the city or the state, to put the money into the account and save the money.
She says what's happening in cities like Philadelphia is the accumulation of many bad decisions. Cities and states are going to have to move to 401ks, packages where the money is saved in an account over time. Pete Constant is the director of the Pension Integrity Program for the Reason Foundation. He points out that the decisions were made generations ago.
We have to look at retirement and see what retirement means today. We can't continue to take the debt from today's workers and transfer it on to future generations.
Detroit was the poster child for cities running out of money. In 2013, that city filed for bankruptcy after accumulating $18 billion in debt. The pension program was said to account for a sixth of that total. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Chris Clark. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.